Hey Fadies, thanks for listening to Chapter 6, Episode 3 of The Fate of Ison. I'm DM Brad, and it is awesome to have you here with us. Before we jump into the episode, a quick reminder that our live shows in the 2021 New Zealand Fringe Festival are coming up fast. So if you're in Wellington on the 7th and 8th of March, make sure you grab your tickets and come see us live. There are limited tickets available, so get them while you can from the link on our website, fadeofison.com. At the shows, there will be an awesome gaming giveaway from DiceVault.com, so maybe you can be in to win some tasty gaming goodies. You can also buy some stuff if you want from DiceVault. That's a great idea, especially if you use the promo code RESISTANCE to get a whopping 20% off. Ooh yeah, them some sweet dice deals. DiceVault.com, promo code RESISTANCE. We're joined in this episode once again by the awesome James Blyseth from the Wheel of Woe podcast, and also by one of our longtime friends and supporters, Reese. Okay, let's get to recapping. Last time, Marley and her reluctant new ally Kevbin met the Chaos Demon the Ziglamel and a strange old man named Chaos the Extraordinary. Chaos modified some items for them, but was interrupted as a gargantuan blue dragon and an equally gargantuan purple worm appeared and locked into a fierce battle. After the dragon emerged victorious, Marley approached it and learned its name was Tatsu, and it has a history with Gilliff. She tried to convince Tatsu to join her fight, but was ultimately unsuccessful. Not knowing what else to do, Marley and Kevbin opened a portal to the Resistance headquarters beneath Dantonair.
I hope we're going to see another episode of the Ziglamel.
I'll just have her pop into every episode and just touch everyone you meet, like every guest. Like, well, hi, Reese. I think you'll need to get cursed. Okay, so here we go. Arcus, you were with Marley riding Hodge out of the volcano where you had just defeated Gilliff and lost Banfor. Then, suddenly out of nowhere, a hazy, misty, cumulus figure appeared, wearing a shadowy black cloak and holding a wand. Mm. You would recognize this as your cousin, Fergus Squall.
Beautiful.
You had just enough time to give Marley a concerned look, and then you faded out of Ison.
Disapparate. That's bullshit. You know you can't disapparate outside of Hogwarts.
So your vision goes this blinding blue for a few seconds, and then when you regain your senses, you find yourself in the exact spot you were in. However, the world, including your companions, Marley and Hodge, looks hazy and blurred to you. You try to touch Marley, but your hand goes straight through her like she's some kind of ghost. And at that same moment, you realize you're no longer riding Hodge. You're just kind of hovering in place near his back. You become a spectator as Marley freaks out about losing her friend all of a sudden. She speaks into Haydet's dimension locker and then takes some kind of potion and races down to the desert. Your body follows like it's being whipped along with her. You watch as Marley and Hodge help a half-elf man with red hair and a tricorn hat fight a trio of small blue-coloured dragons. You see a frosty blue chaos demon, the Ziglamel, appear in the desert near them. She looks straight at you, but says nothing. Mm. She drops off a strange old man with a patchwork quilt and then leaves. The man speaks with Marley and the red-haired man, then does something to the sanguine gatekeeper dagger, and then gives it back to Marley. Then a gigantic blue blur flies into view just as the ground bursts open beneath them, and an enormous worm-like creature appears. The blue blur, an ancient blue dragon, and the giant worm lock into a fierce battle with one another. Ooh. You see Marley and her companions flee to shelter. The truly titanic blue dragon defeats the worm, then stares at the huddled sheltering group. You watch as they all leave the shelter and approach the blue dragon, clearly steering toward diplomacy. They converse for a time before the group walks away. The dragon begins digging and clawing at the desert sand. Marley opens a blood portal
going to the toilet.
using her newly upgraded dagger, and then the group travels through. And your vision, Arcus, flashes a painful, blinding red.
Ow.
When your senses return, you're in some kind of bustling underground city that you don't recognize. Ooh. Your friends are in a puddle of blood in front of you, and a crowd of people nearby drop what they're doing and gasp at the newcomers.
Is this hell? Am I in hell? I am a demon.
And you notice that your companions and the world are no longer hazy and misty. And Marley, you see Arcus.
So for the first time in Arcus's life, someone's going to hug Arcus first. Because as soon as Marley sees Arcus, she's like, oh, thank Hate it! And she just like runs at you and just like pulls you into the biggest hug.
Of course I hug back. Naturally. It's nice to be semi-permeable again. You know, I went from being semi-permeable to being completely non-permeable. You just hate it when you lose your semi.
So Marley is covered in blood. She's just traveled through the blood portal. And she is with that half-elf man with the red hair and the tricorn hat. Oh. And, of course, Hodge. And you've got a whole gathering of people around you in this underground city, and they're all just staring mouths agape.
Yeah, but that was way more important to me. Oh my god, where have you been? I have so much to catch you up on. Also, this is Kevbin. he seems fine.
Kevin's like, looking around, like, in horror at... like looking down at himself covered in blood and like looking around just and then just kind of waves hello.
And Marley's like trying to I'm sorry Arcus, I seem to have transferred blood into your cloud, I'm so sorry, like
right, that was a logistical question I wanted to ask, because you know, as we know, Arcus is a form of liquid.
Well, we know Arcus can absorb cider, so
yeah, so
I mean, that's
so,
canon.
Yeah, so if I absorb like a bunch of blood, do I turn kind of red, Brad?
Yes, we established the last time that Arcus travelled through this thing that you absorbed blood like a tampon.
Nice, that's hot.
So Marley's like, oh my god, Hayden doesn't know where Banfor is. I didn't know where anybody was, so I just went to the last place that I knew where people I knew were. And how did you know about this place?
I don't know what happened. I was here and then I wasn't, and everything was like cloudy and foggy and weird, and I was getting dragged along behind. I don't know what happened. I don't understand.
Did Hodge drag you out of a realm again? I mean, I know that's how you got here originally. Is that...
I feel like this was different, though, because I didn't... Like, I came through to a different world, whereas this was... I was still in this world. I just... You couldn't see me.
Someone
I was like,
tried to steal you.
It was like that movie Ghost. Where that guy was a ghost, and they did And they did pottery? Is that the right...
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say, and they did pod racing. I'm like, that's the Phantom
Menace. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, Phantom is in the name, you know, so it is a ghost.
Someone tried to steal you. Is someone trying to steal you? Do we need to be worried about this?
You know, I think I saw my cousin.
Wait, you have family? We've never talked about your backstory, Arcus. We should really do that one day. I feel like...
I did say I wanted to go back, but then it seemed like there were more pressing issues that were happening in the world.
Yeah, if only there was somewhere we could go to learn about Arcus's backstory. It's already recorded, go listen to it.
Nah, it's a mystery, you'll never find out.
So this crowd is still like gathered, they're now muttering amongst themselves, questioning like who you are, why you've appeared in such a strange and violent way. Yeah.
And I guess this is on Marley, because she'd be the only one they might remember. Like, anybody from here would remember. So
yeah.
So she kind of calls out, and she's like, sorry, hi, I promise, with the Resistance, Zathan? Is Zathan here?
People, they look around clearly knowing the name, but not knowing what to say about it.
Oh.
Who's in charge here?
Let's see, should I as the DM tell you, Jules the player? Because it's only been 5 weeks since you were here, character-wise.
Oh god.
But it's been 2 years, real
it's
world.
That, it's that fucking chick. I know, I can, like, We had a conversation with her at the table, but I can't.
It's High Priestess Rhea.
That's right, High Priestess Rhea. And so I go, who's in charge? Wait, it's not Zathan. It's that High Priestess lady, Rhea.
Yeah, they all sort of nod and like, oh, okay, yeah, I guess.
Please.
Yeah, but I mean, people are still dumbstruck as well. They don't know what to say, but a few of them run, sort of like running messages. Yeah. No one's running in terror, like, ah!
Yeah.
Someone's like, quick, let's go do a thing quickly. And then a few seconds later, bursting from the crowd is High Priestess Rhea. So Marley, you would recognize this woman. She is probably in her 40s, a human, long brunette hair, and she rushes, like bursts from the crowd, and then sort of sees the puddle of blood and you and your companions, and she says, Marley Kraft, what? And then she looks at the people you're with and says, where are your friends? Where's Banful Watt and Trestlespoon Durr?
As she says those names, you can see there's a moment on Marley's face where she tries not to. Like, there's like this crumpled face look where she's like, oh God, don't ask me. And then she sort of goes, shakes it off, and she's like,
are these your allies?
I hold Marley's hand.
Yeah.
For support.
These are all I have left right now. Please don't.
She looks the cloud demon up and down, which is a very strange thing in this world.
Yeah. And I'm like giant flying hugging wolf. My support cloud demon. And
the only vaguely normal looking one is the half elf red haired man, and she walks up to Kevbin and she puts out a hand and she says, I'm High Priestess Rhea. What is your name?
Kevin. Kevin Dugnut.
Oh, Kevin. And what brings you into the company of Miss Kraft?
This is my savior from the sky. I was, I don't know what happened. I was on a boat, and one second, and another second, I was surrounded by three giant creatures. I guess they were dragons? Something?
Yeah. Her eyes open wide at recognition of the word, and she says, you've encountered dragons. The scholars just learned about those from the library.
Oh, dude, I've got a lot to tell you. Look, a lot has happened, and it's probably vitally important that you know everything I know.
Yeah, she says, well, there'll be time in the morning where... Whatever you've encountered, I'm sure you've been through quite an ordeal. I insist that you rest. And she sort of clicks up her fingers a bit, and then she just says, Hawker? Hawker, has anyone seen Hawker?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you see emerging from the crowd. What do they see, Rhys?
A grey-haired tabaxi cat person dressed in, black sort of dark clothes, probably about average height, just sort of pops out of the crowd as if it came out of nowhere.
Yeah, and she says, oh, good. Please take all of our friends to a suitable accommodation that where they can have some food, get a good night's rest, because we need information from them in the morning.
Yeah, and before Marley goes, because Marley's grateful, she looks at her gratefully, but she grabs her sort of, probably quite inappropriately for a high priestess, and is like, are we safe? Is this place secure? Are they patrols?
She says, well, since the Empire fell, we've been strengthening our numbers, both above and below ground. It's very safe down here. There's no Arkvale presence whatsoever. And
it's not Arkvale we have to worry about anymore.
She says, yes, we've heard some horror, some troubling stories, but so far, Dantanir and us beneath Dantanir have fared quite well.
Okay. That'll have to do. Until the morning. Yeah. Yeah,
please don't worry yourselves with that. You need rest. We'll speak in the morning.
Yeah. I'm gonna worry myself over whatever I want to. I'm a worrier. That's my trait. So what are you gonna do about it?
She eyes you and just says, I don't like you, cloud person.
Well, I like you quite a bit, so
Are you trying to kill me with kindness?
can you kill with kindness? Is this an unlocked class? Tell me more.
Hey, Wizards of the Coast, if you're listening, how about a Killing with Kindness class?
Get more from that. Diceratops on it.
Yeah, so she then takes her leave with like a polite courtly bow kind of thing.
And disappears
through the crowd, and the crowd sort of now, not bored, obviously, but sort of they've become accustomed to your presence. The crowd goes back about what they were doing. And Hawker, you take them through the city to a large, currently uninhabited building that just has the furnishings and comforts that they need for a long rest.
I like to think that the whole time, you know how like we've established that Hodge is kind of always sort of in the background, just sort of singing away to himself, like I'm on an adventure or something like that. I like to think he's just sort of like heckles Ray's the whole time because he's just like walking behind a cat. Like just constantly just
good point. Cats and dogs. Reese, how do you think you feel about this giant wolf?
I'm keeping my distance, eh? Just not getting too close to it, eh?
Hey, smart, who knows, they could become unlikely friends. You know, like that pig that was feeding those tiger baby cubs. It's milk,
that's,
you know?
Not where I thought you were going with that. I thought we were going with the pig and the spider, but sure.
Oh, like Charlotte's Web. No, the real life thing where they had tiger. Was it a pig? I think it was. They put a pig in a tiger skin thing because its mum had died, and then little tiger babies came and like suckled on the pig for milk, and they became friends forever.
I like that James knows what you're talking about. I mean, I'd like,
no, I don't. Hope I don't. I just think it's the most adorable thing I've ever heard.
It's pretty fucking cute, honestly. just unlikely animal pair-ups is my favorite genre of real-life event.
I love it when you tell us about what your favorite things are in a particular grouping. I've listened back to episodes and you just go, my favorite thing about this particular tiny little subclass of life is. Like, you've thought about it for a long time. I'm like, I don't have that ready. If you ask me about that.
I just have a lot of favorites.
I just love the my favorite genre of life events. Like, I'm going to describe all my life events as, like, a genre now.
I like messing up the genre. I like the gender or the breed of alcohols. I don't know what they are. The genders of dogs. I don't know.
Oh, I love it. Oh, can I just say, Jules, before we go back into it, it's so good to have you here. I want
to. It's good to be back.
Anyway, sorry, we're back in. Sorry.
Cool. So you all have a long rest. You certainly do that. So click the long rest button on your D&D Beyond if that's what you got. That definitely happens.
Big sleeper.
And so Kevbin, Hodge, Arcus, and Marley all sleep in this accommodation. And then you wake in the morning to the sounds of yelling, screaming, banging, and crashing.
My alarm.
It's Banfor waking up. And as you all sort of wake to that sound and sort of shake yourselves,
I feel like Marley would be quite used to Banfor waking up screaming. Like it's well established that's what he does. So
yeah, you hear someone in the distance yell, "Evacuate the city! We can't fight that! Evacuate the city!" And then another voice sort of replies to it, "What about the library?" And then there's a third voice, "To hell's with the library!"
No.
No, not to hell's with the library. We fought way too hard for that gym. Like, I had to put up with way too much attitude from Jim.
Yeah. And then it's just a chorus of like stampeding feet and yelling and people screaming and saying things like, Jessa! Where's Jessa? Have you seen anyone seen Jessa?
Where is Jessa, honestly?
Like, yeah, now you've put Jessa out there,
it's not
concerned.
Like Jessa not to be around, you know? Like,
it's the major question.
Always here.
Yeah, yeah. She's
Next week, we can record a spin-off called Where's Jessa?
I am so down for that. Where's Jessa?
Is Hawker with us?
You tell me. Reese, would Hawker have sort of stayed in this accommodation with them as maybe like a guard or like just local helper who's on hand, or would you have gone to your own accommodation?
Probably would have stayed nearby. There's like, you know, local support sort of thing.
Yeah. Okay, so Marley like throws open the door or whatever to the where we're staying and it's like, Hawker! Is this
yes?
normal?
No, definitely not normal.
Oh.
Yeah, so Marley, you swing open the door and there are like resistance members just in a horde filing past the door towards what you know is the elevator out of the underground city. They are just like charging through, everyone doing a mass evacuation. And a young girl, Tiffany, who you recognize from the Teen Titans, aka the Rapscallion Squadron. She stops in front and she's breathing heavily and she says, "Giant slime thing destroying city, run," and then continues with the crowd.
Wait, have you seen Jessa?
Where's Jessa?
She stops and yells, "I haven't seen Jessa," and then goes continues.
She's still missing.
Damn it, will we ever find Jessa?
Molly turns around back to Hawker and is like, so giant slimy thing attacking the town, not normal, got it. Seen dragons though, how hard could this be?
Don't know, let's give it a go.
Well, it's slime, so it's probably not too hard.
Good point. Maybe it's don't probably... hug it, you might get stuck, just
hey,
as a note.
What happens, you know, because I'm a semi-permeable, fucking I can't even say it. I'm a semi-permeable being, and the slime is probably semi-permeable. What?
Well, I guess it depends if it's an acidic slime, and then you might just die inside it.
Do I absorb it if we come in contact, or does it absorb me? That's what I want to know.
Well, you have proven absorbent in the past. So.
I guess it would just be a fight.
I'm better than a Kleenex, you know? Like, I'm...
Is Argus's last name Bounty?
Molly turns around to Kevbin and is like, "Hey, Kevbin, you up for it?"
Well, we've
and
got
gives,
somebody's yeah. got to save the library.
Yeah, gives him a grin. Like, oh yeah, no, we have to save the library. Honestly, if I have to deal with Jim again, I'll lose my mind.
Oh yeah, so for context for any listeners, and if Reese and Jules and James aren't familiar with this particular part of the podcast story so far, the library is an ancient lost library in this underground city, which has been hidden for many, many centuries. It is also a temple to Haydet, the god of knowledge, and it houses Haydet's
god heart,
Jim the Gemstone. And it's a building of extreme importance, not just for the ancient lost knowledge contained inside it, but also because it contains the gateway to Haydet's realm. Yeah.
So I feel like... Oh, you go.
I was going to say, so as blasé as Marley is seeming right now, she's all full bore, like, armor on, game on.
Well,
Haydet
I was gonna
will
say,
be protected.
I feel like I'm... Personally, I'm still upset about the Library of Alexandria. So, yeah, I want to protect the library, obviously.
Yeah. And I would probably explain as we're mounting up as such, like, let's move. And actually we could, because we could all just hop on.
Hodge.
Hodge.
But I presume because you just woke up, you're spending time to like put on armor and grab your gear and things like that.
I sleep in my armor.
You are your armor.
Yeah, I have pants. I have canonically have pants.
So, Reese Hawker would what would he be doing immediately? Watching sort of all the people that he's been living with in this resistance underground city fleeing the city.
I'd be worried.
What you now, Hawker?
No, I don't really care that much.
not sure what to do, like whether I should stay and help, whether I should flee, you know. sort of feeling a bit towards the staying and helping.
Yeah.
Okay. If it helps your decision, you watch where all the people are fleeing to, and you know it's the elevator that takes them to the city above ground, and all the crowd is sort of gathered outside the elevator in just this huge cluster waiting for their turn. It's clearly going to take quite a long time to get everyone out.
So even if all we do is hold them off, yeah.
Well, that's the problem with having an elevator and not an escalator. If it was an escalator out of there, then they all could just line up and...
You're so right.
I'm building design
flaws. I'm going to write a strongly worded letter to management.
You should.
Which is...
Dear Haydet, please install an escalator in your fucking
And actually,
city.
Speaking of Haydet, as I'm mounting up as such, part of it would be to just swing... Like, I think of it kind of like Molly started to, like, just swing the locker open to just check messages in the morning. Like, think of just turning your phone on and just seeing if anybody's called. Yeah.
So, yeah, you open it up and it says, ah, wake up!
Helpful.
I'm like,
my bloody library! My library's under attack!
Useless alarm clock.
Yeah. I'm like, helpful, hate it. Worst case scenario, do we save the zone if we can't save anything else? And she shuts it and then, like, ties her boots up and sort of makes sure her saxophone's blowing properly and stuff. And then she, like, opens it back up again.
Haydet's voice comes out and says, save the people first. There's a few people hiding instead of evacuating.
Ooh. Fucking Jessa.
It's gotta be Jessa.
Jessa would hide. That's so Jessa.
That's such a Jessa thing to do.
She would.
There's a young woman called Jessa somewhere in the city. The dungeon master's going to make you skills challenge to find her.
Yeah, Molly closes the door and is like, well, screw you. I'm saving your heart if I have to. Like, and she kind of says that to the air, not to the locker, you know?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, he knows your thoughts.
Yeah.
But you have to open the locker.
I know, but I feel like it's a conversation when I do it in the locker. So, yeah. But I say to literally the ear, screw you. I'm
don't you know that God is always listening?
So gross.
It's a bit pervy.
What would Hawker do seeing someone
talk to
right
Haydet
in front of you? Yeah, open up a door in nothing and talk to the God whose city you're living in.
Gets a little bit wide eyed.
just
a little bit.
He's
stick around with us, kid. You'll meet all the greats.
has Kev been explained this?
Yeah,
I forget.
No, not really, but Kevin just leans over to is it Horka? Horka. Leans over to Horka and is just like, so probably wondering what's going on. Me too. I'm new here. But just expect weird stuff to happen around this one.
Yeah, I'm getting that feeling.
Yeah.
And Molly hears that, sort of grins at you and is like, round that one too, and pointing at Arcus. Like,
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm completely normal where I come from.
See? And then, like, stands up. I like to think that she's like, shunk, like rapier and dagger and, right, you guys ready? Let's go.
Roll out, Autobots.
Kevin's loving his new shield, and he's kind of been messing around with it like before he went to bed last night. So he throws it up in the air and just walks away, and it like flies behind and just rests on his back, like Captain America style. It's super cool.
So good. Can we action hero like walk out of the room?
In slow motion.
In slow motion.
Everyone roll me a performance check
yes!
to see how cool you look.
I don't look very cool. I look mediocre cool.
It's alright, I got you guys.
I got 16.
10.
I only got an 11.
18.
Ooh. Nice. Okay, well, Arcus and Hawker look pretty badass.
Can't believe Molly fails that. Molly has a +9 to performance. I rolled a 2.
That's crazy. I have a +2.
Yeah, and Kevin and Molly, I guess maybe you look like you're not all that cool with the situation. You look like a bit more stressed and not quite
I reckon
ready for action as the others.
I reckon Hodge like headbutts us from behind because he got up kind of awkwardly. And so actually they look awesome and we look like we're like,
Kevin saw how cool Arcus and Horka looks and is trying to emulate them, but very poorly.
So good. All right.
Be your own cool. Don't be their cool. Be your cool.
Sorry, that was just for us.
Okay, so you are now this fabulous quartet plus Hodge, so a quintet, I suppose, of heroes.
Does that mean we're the fabulous five?
The Fantastic Five.
Fantastic.
You are the Fantastic Five.
Apple squatters, roll out!
There is... So this will be a skills challenge with a dark twist. Devastating twist, I should say. So there are eight damaged buildings throughout the city where people are currently hunkering down and hiding.
Uh-oh.
Since there's four players, you're going to, I guess, each get two turns here. Oh, we are going to roll skills of... So you've got options of which skills you do here, because each person is going to roll a skill to find and evacuate the people of a building. One roll to do it. So you tell me if that's perception, investigation, whatever you want to do, and explain to me as well how you do that, of your person or the group being led by you finding and evacuating each pocket of survivors. The difficulty is 17. For each failure, the people in that building die. Oof.
This is a Joker move.
Okay. I mean, the stakes are high, but this is real. This is real time. Okay.
So there's only going to be eight rolls, and it's going to be a mixture of successes and fails throughout.
So we can only roll perception and investigation?
No, you can roll whatever you can justify to me, but you can't repeat.
Yeah, cool.
I wanna roll survival. I wanna use my ability to know how to deal with things in intense situations to be able to scout and find where people are and then carefully get them out of the building without getting hurt. You know, to survive. And the whole time I'll be singing, I will survive. First I was afraid.
Okay. Okay, make a survival check. And remember, you're aiming for 17. Which is high.
I got 19.
Fuck yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so Arcus, you lead the group to, following the clues and instincts that are coming to you in real time. You find a very damaged building and manage to you hear people sort of whispering and muttering inside, and you open the doorway that looks like it's about to crumble and fall at any minute, and you convince this group of people to get out and evacuate the city. And there are eight people inside, and they all come out into the street and they all head straight to the elevator.
Nice. Good job, team. And by team, I mean me.
Nice. Okay, I got one if nobody else does. So we basically, sprint up to another building, and I can hear people calling out for help. And I can see that there's actually a way that they can get through. So I want to persuade them that they can do it. Like, they can come to me by going this way, you know? So I want to be like, it's okay, come. You've got this, you know? Yeah.
Okay, I hope they've got this. Otherwise, you just lured them to their death. Is that a natural one? Is that a natural one?
Dude, that's not even... That face says natural. That's not even fucking funny. I have a plus 13 and I rolled a fucking one.
Chaos curse! Okay, so first of all...
I just killed the people in their building.
You see these people and you go. Thing is, you don't actually do any of what you just did because of the Chaos Curse. Hang on a minute.
God, I hate the Chaos Curse. Fucking Ziglumel. I swear to God, if I get a chance to kill that bitch, I'm killing that bitch.
Oh, you will. Okay, so roll me a D100, please.
I'm so angry I said bitch, and I hate that word. Can you see the rolls? Because I can see Arcus's on D&D Beyond.
I saw you roll it. I was like, I saw the 14. I was like, no.
If you have the...
I'm not watching D&D
If you have the campaign open, you can see everybody's rolls.
Yeah.
What'd you get?
31.
Okie dokie. Oh, okay, interesting. This doesn't really have any major negative effects other than the fact that you just failed and 8 people died.
Yep, cool. Feel real good about it.
So you notice people in a building near to the one that Arcus just cleared, and you see them and you go to persuade them, you go to say something persuasive to them, but instead you just belch this huge burst of freezing cold air, like a cloud of just icy air. And then the building in front of you just crumbles and just into debris. And
I mean, I feel slightly better because I could not have done, like I'm cursed, so. But I feel like Kevin thinks I'm the worst hero in the world because of, like,
First off, she's fallen all over the ground. Falling in. What is
I'm
happening?
I'm falling, but I'm not falling. And now I've just. Pelted these innocent
breath
people
is
with
so
cold.
Bad. Your breath is so bad it destroyed the building.
Oh my god, I'm the worst hero ever. I feel really bad. I feel worse about this than kicking a whole lot of puppies off a cliff. Because this is a new low.
And the puppies
Mali.
Was a real life thing.
I just did that yesterday.
Yeah.
That's my favorite genre of killing.
Off a cliff. Yeah. Doesn't matter which animal either. Just has to be off a cliff.
Oh,
and kicked.
What? So let's move on to Hawker or Kevin.
Cool. Please be better than that.
Do it.
I only use perception. Because I'm a cat, you know. Good hearing.
I like that, because I'm a cat.
Yeah, because I'm a cat. I got a 21.
Nice. Casual.
That's a success. So, describe the way you use your perception to find and clear this another building nearby.
I just look around and my ears sort of twitching a little bit, having a listen. Just hear some sounds coming from a building off sort of to the side of it. Head over and find some people inside and persuade them to come out with me. Tell them to get out of the city.
Okay. Yeah. So they see you, they recognize you, you're a well-known member of the Resistance, and they just immediately trust that this is the right call, and they leave the building just as it sort of falls apart. And they're all out in the street, and then they rush off towards the elevator and join everyone else. And now, Kevin.
So Kevin is going to run over to another building, and as he's running, his nose starts to, like, elongate a little bit, and is going to turn into a huge horn, and I'd like to wild shape into a rhinoceros, and
okay.
Can I do that?
Yeah, with that would be either animal handling or arcana.
Okay, so here's the thing. Can I do a wild shape to do a strength check with it?
Like to hold up the building.
Okay,
as
yes.
A rhino or whatever.
Yeah, if you in that case that would be athletics.
Okay.
If you're using the skills. And yeah, so you just as for flavor, you just turn into a rhinoceros.
Turn into a rhinoceros. It's a little bit for flavor, but it's also because my strength is -1. But a rhino's
God, I love animals.
+5.
Nice.
So, okay. Yeah, I'd like to go and, like,
sweet.
As the rhino, like, find a spot that's, like, weak and maybe try to support the building with my massive rhino body, which is my stripper name.
Support the weak spot with my massive rhino body.
That is a 20.
Catchy.
Mod 20.
Nice. Okay, so your friends see this. You turn into a rhino in their midst and you just sort of charge towards this building and just like not bash but prop your body against it, and the concrete of the building starts to like crack and crumble, but it's being held up very tentatively by your body, and 8 people flee out of the door and they sort of do a spit take at this rhino as they pass.
Can I wait? I wave at them with one of my front paws or front hooves.
Hooves?
Hooves?
Hooves? Yeah.
Hooves. Yeah. And as you sort of take some of the weight off a part of your body to raise your hoof in a wave, the building crumbles to pieces right beside you, and just this big puff of dust and debris up in the air.
Do they have hoofs, or they have like?
Yeah, I don't know.
They have toes, I think.
Sorry.
I don't think they have horse hooves. I think
no, they don't have hooves. They do have like.
Fades tweeted us. Do rhinos have hooves, toes, or feet?
This is the real question. Foot fetishes are afraid to ask. We're here.
We're here to tackle the
asking the real question.
Feet deal.
This is what Gary Gygax had in mind.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I had
this
such
was
a...
actually in his dream diary.
How glad are you that so you came back, James?
I had such a cool idea of like what my wild shape is, and now it's just turned into foot fetishes.
I mean, I don't know what you were expecting.
It is Fate of Aizen.
That's true. That's a good point.
Let's go for round two. There's four more buildings out there.
Round two, Electric Boogaloo.
So far, you're three successes, one failure.
Yep.
All right. I'm gonna think real holy thoughts. I'm gonna just engage with my inner cleric missionary vibe and use my religion and my belief in the gods and then wanting this to go right to help me find the other people and help them escape.
Okay, this is a good place for that.
It just such an occasion. I got a 12.
Oh no.
Yeah, you reach out to the gods and you find that it's just not fast enough. You get sort of a feeling from Tratora of where to go, but because the city is like the domain dedicated to a different god, it's sort of like the signal isn't reliable, and you arrive at a building that you know in your heart has people in it just as it crumbles and turns to debris. And you know that eight people just died inside.
Well, at least I didn't burp ice on them, you know? I was just too late. I wasn't the cause of it. I just wasn't the
Technically,
solution.
Technically, I wasn't the cause of mine either. The Ziggelmel was, so we could argue this all day.
Okay, ice breath.
Molly is feeling pretty defeated a little bit. She's doing what she normally does when she's feeling down, and her fingers are click-clacking on the saxophone, and she decides to play to try and... She kind of calls out to this building nearby, and she's like, please come out, you can do it, you're brave enough. And she starts like playing sort of like bardic inspiration, but not actually, you know what I mean? Yeah.
So this she's is like, persuasion via performance.
I'm never gonna dance again. Never.
Come on, where's the Jurassic Park?
I was going for something different, Brad. I knew you weren't expecting it, and I knew the audience wasn't expecting it, so...
The formula works.
Yeah, I'm rolling a performance check. Oh, I got a 16. I don't think that's high enough.
Oh no. You needed 17.
Wow.
I'm rolling like shit. Have you seen these rolls? Like, I know you can see these rolls, Arcus, but like, yeah. Holy crap.
So you play your saxophone in the direction of a building, and the sonic waves from your saxophone make it crumble.
It makes sense.
It's like yelling on a mountain causing an avalanche, and it...
I knew I should have just lied to them about there being a ghost behind them, because that would have been so much better.
So you sort of, in slow motion, see like a little chip of stone come off the building, followed by another, then like a big crack, a big seam opening up through it, and then the whole thing just boom crashes down.
Cool. 16 people, and how many puppies are on Molly's?
You literally brought down the house.
Yeah. It's too bad you're not playing like PUBG or something, because your kill to death ratio right now is just absolutely savage.
I'm gonna start playing death metal.
And now either Hawker or Kiffman.
Be my druidess! be my everything.
Okay, but as a bard move, like now you're just a really depressed heavy metal bard going around like feelings. You know that song.
Yep. Anyway, sorry.
I'm gonna go with acrobatics. So like hop around carefully around the edges of the buildings, over some of them, see if I could find some people to save.
Ooh, going over the top. Risky move. I like it.
Oh yeah.
I like that we've done all this dumb shit and you're just doing like standard like perception acrobatics.
Oh, I'm looking at what my stats are good at, that's it.
No, but that makes sense.
Oh shit. Oh, I got a 13.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Yeah, so going from rooftop to rooftop, you actually land on a building that starts to crumble underneath your feet. And it falls and you sort of fall down with it, but you sort of roll yourself free and there's just, it's just a pile of debris left in your wake. And that's 8 more people from the resistance dead.
Good job, team.
And actually, you recognize this as Jess's house.
Oh no, Brad, do not do that to us.
I'm kidding.
It's alright, Jessa wasn't home.
That would have been the first place they looked.
Yeah, they would know where she was if she was at home.
They're like, guys, we don't know where Jessa is.
Guys, you're not gonna like this.
No.
I found Jessa. Oh, you're not gonna like this.
It's all up to you, Kiffman. So far, it's 3 successes, 4 losses.
Oh gosh. Okay. Let's do. Trying to think of how to use this cleverly. Let's do.
Nah, do it stupidly.
Do it stupidly.
Clearly it's been working.
Yeah, so
for
I've
us.
Got. I'm going to revert back to my form. I've got a -1 athletics. I'm going to try to lift the building with my hands. Now I'm going to.
Yeah, you're not going to repeat it.
No, that was him joking.
Yeah, it's true.
Just checking.
I would like to do an investigation check, I would like to use that to determine the building that's going to fall the soonest. Like, looking at all the buildings, maybe seeing the structural integrity of them, and seeing which one is at most danger of falling next, and
okay,
rush
cool.
to that
Roll
one.
It up.
Come on, James.
Maybe.
Oh, don't.
I got a 12 plus 5 is 17.
Yes!
That's a
nice.
Success.
Nice.
Yes. Cool. Kevin saves the day. You look around, you assess the damage of the buildings nearby, and you see one that is starting to move as cracks and breaks appear in it, and you estimate that there's probably about 15-20 seconds before it's going to hit the ground. So you like rush over and say, is anyone in here? This building's about to go. And you hear a few voices say, yes. And then 8 people pile out. And yeah, the building falls to rubble right behind the heel of the last person.
You know what? I feel bad about the 8 people that I wasn't able to save. But at the end of the day, I still saved 8 people.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's only Marley that killed
16
everyone.
People.
Not even didn't save. You literally killed.
Yeah. From her saxophone, you just hear.
It does play a thing called Song of Doom now.
Hey, I've only been playing it 1 turn. Thank you.
Like, no, fuck, I played the wrong song. I was supposed to play the Song of Healing, but I played the Song of Doom. Now everyone's dead.
Where's Jessa? That's the question on everyone's lips right now. Where is bloody Jessa? And did Marley just straight up kill 16 innocent people? Like, did that just happen? I'm pretty sure it did. What is going to happen to the underground city? Will this slime monster thing be revealed? Find out next time, I guess. We couldn't make this show without the love and support from our amazing supporters over at patreon.com/fateofison. Those wonderful, wonderful people who help us make this show are Alex White Robinson, person who wants to stay anonymous, Robert Baldino from Not Quite Heroes Podcast, Armin Cucci, Laura Christine Goodman, and James Blasters from Wheel of Boy Podcast, Sajo Hodgkins, Laura Douglas, Mel Ziegler, Roger Ruff, Marta, Sam Malcolm from Table Tales, Kyder First, Lauren Flake, Kai Dealer, Brianna Kavalsic, Kevin Swift from the Dice Cop, Ben Edwards, Victorian Gavin Porter, Daniel Nichols from the Happy Go Lucky Podcast, KP, Squished, Alexandra Litkites, Andrew Evans, Danny Holman from the Grow Out of It Podcast, Kevin Carver, Dakota Szymanski, Damien LeBreton, and our newest, brand super duper spanking newest supporter, Andrew Mitchellmore. Thanks for joining the team, everybody. If anybody else wants to add their name to that list, feel free to check out the reward tiers over at patreon.com/fateofison. Or you can also help us out by writing a nice review for us somewhere. Anywhere. Just be like, yay, Fate of Ison equals good. Hashtag 5 stars. Good podcast review. Hashtag again. Anyway, thanks for listening. We'll see you again in episode 4. Bye!
Hey, it's your best friend Danny here. If you enjoy art, literature, or the creative process, you may enjoy the comedy podcast Grow Out of It. You may even learn something about your long-lost childhood self. Or you might just get something like this.
Mason and I hadn't really talked much. Besides our first encounter and the occasional,
"Help me stand up!"
we hadn't had a need to really sit down.
Necropodicon. Hard to pronounce? Easy to listen.